Now, the United States Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff has travelled to Israel amid growing international concern about the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza. Earlier, Canada became the latest country to move towards recognising a Palestinian state. Donald Trump responded with a social media post saying this would make it hard for the US to cut a trade deal with Canada. Aid agencies say that while more food has entered Gaza in recent days, supplies still fall a long way short of what is needed. The health authorities there say Israeli military strikes have killed 101 people over the past 24 hours. Sebastian Usher is the BBC's Middle East editor, and I asked him to assess the significance of the Canadian announcement.
I mean, I think like the announcements that have been made by, first of all, France and then by the UK, I think you have to see it as symbolic first and foremost. It's not going to change what's happening on the ground in the immediate future, but it's sending a message from, again, a close ally of Israel that the limited amount diplomatically, in some senses, that these countries can do in order to try to change the situation in Gaza, which they've now made clear they believe is insupportable, that by making these diplomatic moves, they can send to Israel, to the Israeli government, to the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, the sense that this can't continue like this. Now, I think it's interesting that the way that Canada framed this was different from the way that the UK did. The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, essentially put the onus on Israel in the way that it's handling the situation in Gaza at the moment. I mean, of course, he also called for Hamas to release all the hostages and to step back from any kind of governance. But the real thrust, I think, was about Israel. With Canada, it was different. It was about the Palestinians and about the political situation there and calling for the Palestinian Authority, which governs to some extent in the occupied West Bank, essentially to operate in a far more conducive manner to help the Palestinians, if there is any ceasefire, if there is any real move to end the war in Gaza, to try to help in setting up a political framework that would help move things forward. I mean, the sense has been that the Palestinian Authority, seen both by the Palestinians themselves and the outside world, has been at best an irrelevant and at worst a corrupt authority, hasn't held election for many years. The president, Mahmoud Abbas, is in his mid-80s and, you know, hasn't really allowed any vibrant new voices to be heard within the Palestinian political elite. And what Canada is saying, that has to change, and that Hamas also has to completely be removed from the political scene.
There has also been this statement this morning from the German foreign minister saying the process to recognise a Palestinian state must begin now. Now, there are a lot of caveats in there, and he's not saying that this is something that should happen anytime soon, but it's an interesting development, isn't it?
It is, again, a very, very close ally, perhaps even more so for historical reasons than the UK and France and Canada, not going as far as they have done so far. But, I mean, remember that last week there was a phone call between France, the UK and Germany. That was after France had announced that it would recognise a Palestinian state next month. The UK after that didn't say that it would follow suit. It has since, and Germany also said it wasn't going to follow suit. But there is a sense that all these countries that see themselves as very, you know, friendly towards Israel, wanting the best for Israel as a state, are trying to use what diplomatic capital they have with Israel in these various different ways to put pressure on the Israeli government to change its strategy in Gaza, while acknowledging, you know, Israel's right to self-defense, while acknowledging the horrors of October the 7th, 2023, that were committed against Israel, all of those factors being taken into account, but still essentially in different ways trying to make these moves to show that they don't accept what the situation is now. As I say, Germany, I think, is likely to be the slowest and the latest to make a move if it were to recognise statehood for the Palestinians. But even that, I don't think, can be ruled out anymore.
So where then does this leave the United States? Because Donald Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, he's due in Israel today.
He is. He has arrived in Israel. He's going to be meeting the Israeli Prime Minister for more discussions, obviously. On two fronts, I guess. One is the worsening humanitarian situation, which is what has brought all this diplomatic activity to the surface in the way that we've seen it in the past week or two. Those images of emaciated children, emaciated Palestinians on TV screens across the world have brought a new level of urgency, I think, both in public opinion and in international diplomatic opinion about what's happening there. So he'll be discussing that. There's reports in the Israeli media, but he might go to one of the distribution sites set up by this controversial group backed by Israel and the US, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, where, I mean, outside the perimeters of where it operates, but very much linked to the way that it's operating. We've seen, according to the UN and the reports that we've had from many sources, that more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed since it's been in operation. Many of those, it appears, by the IDF, the other groups have also been involved in that. So I think that would be very interesting, what Steve Witkoff might then say after that, because this is a group that was very much backed by the US, and it was put in place to do what Israel essentially believes is necessary. Israel has said, and the US has backed it in this, that Hamas has been stealing from the UN, from the aid trucks that have been going in from the UN throughout the conflict. And that has helped to keep Hamas in a position of some control, some power in Gaza. Although, you know, all sources, all evidence that we have shows that Hamas is very, very much on the back foot there now. And of course, he'll also be discussing any moves towards a ceasefire. Those after optimism again rose the last time that I was in Israel a couple of weeks ago, it was very much on the boil again. It looked like there might be a deal about to take place. President Trump was very much talking it up. It hasn't happened. Hamas has been blamed by the Israeli and the US side. It's true that it has rejected some elements of the deal as it stands at the moment, but it is negotiating, as far as we know, still over that. And Israel withdrew its delegation from there as well. So, you know, I think one can't divorce the urgent sense there is about the deteriorating humanitarian situation in Gaza from the moves to try and nail down a ceasefire. I think with the ceasefire, what I felt when I was last reporting on it there, and it was very much in the forefront of what the reports, you know, that we were doing at that time, was that the idea that this would be a ceasefire that would potentially end the war was, I think, beginning to lessen, and a sense that any ceasefire that could last at least for, you know, a certain amount of weeks, which would see more Israeli hostages released, that would see much more aid going into Gaza, that would see a lessening of the pressure, particularly the humanitarian pressure on the Palestinians, was becoming more acceptable. So I think that's where this might be moving to. But, you know, there is still this central obstacle, despite other technical issues, which are also significant, but the absolute key one that's been in place for a very long time, the gulf between the two sides, which is that Hamas does want any ceasefire to essentially be accompanied by a guarantee that it would lead to an end to the war, and the Israeli government position that it doesn't necessarily accept that there may be conditions after the ceasefire that would mean, from the Israeli perspective, the government's perspective, that it could continue its offensive there.
And that was the BBC's Middle East editor, Sebastian Usher.